Folks, if you wanted to come to our Effective Manager Conference for quite a while, but either we don't come to your location or you simply can't afford it because your company won't pay, we understand, and that's why we've created our video Effective Manager Conference series of videos. You will be able to see the entire conference on video, including the practice, broken down into small 10 to 15 minute segments. Each segment has a quiz, and there's a transcript to go with it, through which you can search for those topics you wish to go back on. Come to the website, check it out, get a license for our Video Effective Manager Conference.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, feedback, part 4. Here we go. Now, you said step 2 and 3 are the heart of the model. So step 2, describe the behavior when you do X, right? Describe the behavior. And then the second part of the heart of the model is step 3, where you describe the impact. Tell me about that.
This is the effect part of cause and effect. It's the reaction part of action. Think about it. Your company makes products and or services, okay? It makes them. That's the action it takes. And then the reaction is how well that product or service sells or is responded to by the market, right? That's what companies do. Yep. They make or provide something, a thing or a service, generally speaking. You could probably sharpshoot me on my wording there, but basically an organization provides a product or a service to the external world, to the marketplace, and the marketplace replies. The company takes an action, and then there is an outcome. Generally speaking, companies do best when people internal to the company tend to understand that internal processes and systems have to generally be in agreement with the way the company relates to the external world. If the company is going to be rewarded for meeting deliverables on time and producing high quality, you're not going to have a company last very long that doesn't meet its internal deliverables on projects and tends to deliver low quality ideas or low quality systems in terms of how it works internally. If there's not a clear coherence or parallelism between internal systems and external events, the company sooner or later will fail because a company is an organic model, an organic entity, a process. Organic systems don't do well when internally they're a lot different than the external world they live in. Okay. So steps 2 and 3 together are, we did this, and then there's an outcome from that. Just like the company says, we made this, and then there's an outcome. Do people buy it or not? Okay. If we do it right, if we do what we say we're going to do, and our executive's done a good job figuring out what it is the marketplace wants, we get lots of positive feedback, sales. If we do something that the market doesn't like for whatever reason, we misread the market or we have low quality or we're not timely or somebody else beat us to the punch, then we get negative feedback. In other words, we don't get sales. Okay. And so it's crazy for us as managers to think that we should be allowing our people, those of you, and I include myself in this for many years, those of us, and Mike, I'm sure you would agree, true for you as well for a long time, those of us who don't give feedback on internal behaviors of individuals are creating a system where the internal processes and behaviors of the company are not in concert, are not congruent with the external world. If you have customers who are demanding and like speed and high quality, then you as a manager need to be demanding. And I mean that in a good way. All great bosses are very demanding and you need to expect speed and quality from your directs. If you don't, sooner or later, that's going to infect the rest of the company after a fashion, or you're not going to do well because you're seen as somebody who's not helping meet customer satisfaction requirements based on speed and quality. If you're somebody who doesn't think those things are important. So in step 3, we simply are saying, as the company, as a manager, and when you're the manager, speaking as the manager to a direct, you're speaking as the company. You did this, and here's the outcome. In your little world, Mr. or Ms. Direct, Here's your marketplace. You took an action, and here's what the response in the marketplace is to in your little marketplace. And by the way, I define and basically am your marketplace. Here's what the outcome is of your product or service, your attempts to sell, your behavior in the marketplace. And if you come in late, that's like the company delivering a product one quarter late. And, you know, people say to us, you and I have had this discussion before, Mike, where somebody says to us, yeah, but, you know, if we're worried about quality, there's nothing wrong with delivering a little bit late. And both of us look at each other and kind of laugh. And we know that this is probably an engineer who's not thinking. And we respect the interest in quality, guys. Don't get us wrong. We love high quality products. Okay. And we know this is probably an engineer who hasn't thought for once in his or her life that when you deliver a product one quarter late, the company has already built into their models for the year how much money that product would have made in its first quarter. All of that money is gone during a time when it was supposed to be that you were done spending money on the product and now we're making money. But in addition to not making money on the product in the marketplace, we are also spending money on the product in order to get it ready. We have additional costs for that additional quarter. And what's more, we know that our sales predictions are going to be negatively affected by the fact that we were late. Because, of course, our customers assume we're delivering a high-quality product. Gee whiz, of course they do.
And that's perfectly okay because CEOs are not judged on results, are just judged on intent. So we intended to deliver that product, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Mr. CEO, that's okay. As long as you intended well.
Yeah, if you're okay with meaning well, and you think that should be, as long as your directs mean well, you should never hold them to task and say, you know, when you do that, it turns out badly, let's change that. Then you're modeling a behavior that looks like this for your CEO. When you guys put out a new product that's late or that doesn't meet the standards, whatever standards you set or the marketplace sets, and the marketplace sets standards by comparing your products to everybody else's. If the marketplace, if your customers don't buy your product, if you're willing to tolerate ineffective performance from your directs and say, well, they meant well, then you should expect your CEO to go on TV or go on the radio or say in Fortune or Wall Street Journal or The Economist or the Globe and Mail, say something like, I know we didn't meet your standards, but it's okay because we meant well. Can you still give us some money? It just generally, I don't know. I'm just going to check real quick. Nope, never happened in my lifetime. Yeah, we don't get paid in the marketplace for our intent. And so therefore, we ought not to be talking to our directs about their intent. We have to be, for the company, the enforcer. That's probably a bad word. The arbiter, if you will, the judge, if you will, the decider, if you will, of one of our directs' behaviors and the outcome for the team, for the quality, for the speed, for accuracy, for timeless, whatever it might be, the impact on other people, the projects, profits, revenues, costs, whatever. So step two is you describe behavior, and then step three, you describe the impact of their behavior. Again, cause and effect. Step two is cause. Step three is effect. Step two is action. Step three is reaction. Step two is incident. Step three is response. Now, here's how it sounds. Hey, Mike, can I give you some feedback?
Sure.
When you're late, here's what happens. I worry about you. Can you be on time?
Sure.
Okay, good. Or here's another one. Hey, Mike, can I give you some feedback?
Sure.
When you get your report in to me early, here's what happens. It saves me a bunch of time. Thanks.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. Now, I don't tell people that here's what happens are my favorite words in the model because I've already used that up, that encomium up on when you. And so that's why we say you don't actually have to say here's what happens every time because it's implied. We're going to tell you that the phrasing that you might want to start with in the model to just follow it precisely and really make sure you make the connection in your head, the cause and effect connection is when you do X, here's what happens. And you're just being as blunt and as simplistic and as basic as you can possibly be. You did this and here's the outcome of what you did. Okay. That's all. So, you know, can I give some feedback? When you were late, I notice or I worry about you. When you stay an extra hour, I notice your extra effort. When you make the extra phone call to the customer calls to thank me, and I want to thank you. So thank you. When you voice a great idea in the meeting the way you did, the customer comes and thanks me. Here's what happens. The customer comes and thanks me, and that's just awesome, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. Thank you. That's all. Step two is what they did, and step three is the outcome. Now, in our earlier podcast years ago, we actually called step three, I believe mistakenly, the piling on phase. I saw it as a chance to teach directs that there might be outcomes of what they didn't understand about their behaviors. What we've learned is, while that makes sense intellectually, and I've been doing it for years, and you can make it work, I've learned that that's a huge stumbling block to a lot of managers. Managers gave us lots of feedback. And by the way, our models are constantly evolving based on what we know works and what doesn't work. Ninth law, embrace reality. And what we learned was managers were pausing before they gave feedback in order to make sure that they had every possible outcome associated with a particular behavior that a directed engaged in. And they were stringing together three and four and five things and creating a long paragraph of things, which for at least half the world, they wanted to get exactly right. And then they would then say, oh, I'm not going to get it right. And they would self-censor and not give the feedback. What we've learned, and what is in fact printed on all of the slides when we talk about feedback at the conference and all of our, I'm pretty sure it's on the individual license slides for this particular podcast, Mike, it says faster is better. What we've learned is the less time you spend with a direct giving feedback, the better. I often do an example at the conference where I'm standing, say, 3 feet away from a direct, someone who's playing my direct, and leaving my feet where they are, I lean my body toward the direct. And so if the direct is to my left, I lean my body to the left. And so now my weight is over my left foot and my right foot is actually kind of sticking out to the side a little bit. I lean in, kind of put my hand up close to their shoulder and say, hey, can I get some feedback? And they say, sure. Actually, sometimes the directs are just stunned. They can't believe I'm being so casual. I say, dude, I use the word dude, in fact, to send a message that feedback is not a big deal. It's a small thing. It's a small correction on the road. We're not in the ditch yet. I lean over and say, dude, when you come in early, it really helps me out. Thanks a lot. And I walk away. And when I'm saying it really helps me out, thank you, I've actually moved back to where I'm standing directly over both my feet. And by the time I finish saying thank you, I'm actually now my body is over my right foot and I'm moving away from the direct. The reason is I want to send a message that I'm just going to talk to you about the cause and effect of what you just did. I don't want to have a long conversation with you. I don't want to debate it with you. I'm done talking about it. It's brief. It's small. It's not a big deal. It's a drop in the ocean. Whether it's good or bad, one bit of feedback doesn't make or break anybody. And the whole point of this is I'm trying to be fast. Faster is better. So we don't recommend anymore that you pile on in step three. We recommend you simply give a very brief and ideally somewhat relatively equal to the behavior they engaged in outcome. So when you come in early, I appreciate it. You don't say when you come in early, it helps us be more productive and that helps the company be more profitable. Nobody's going to believe that coming in 5 minutes early makes a company more profitable. They're not. Now, I will tell you, there are a lot of companies who people come in late and they wonder why they're not profitable. And I say, well, it'd be good if everybody got on time more often. That'd be a nice start. We wouldn't have so much waste. I mean, there's so much waste in meetings and being late in organizations today. It's mind-boggling. There's billions left on the floor every day, at least in corporate America. And in my experience, in corporations all over the world, people just have a habit of getting away with being late because they're busy. They're busy doing the wrong things and being in the wrong places at the wrong time. So step three is describing the outcome. It's simple. It's direct. When your numbers don't add up in your spreadsheets, I have to go back and double check, and that takes time. Or when your numbers don't add up in the spreadsheet, I question the other conclusions that you draw. When there are errors in your PowerPoint, I really wonder how much time you spent on this, and that makes me wonder. I worry about this. Or when you put together five slides and they're clear rather than 25, it really tells me you worked hard. Thank you. Okay. When you are so well prepared that every single question that's asked, you answer with a smile and everybody says you answered all their questions, that comes across to me as totally professional in terms of your presentation. Well done. Okay. When you interview 25 people rather than just five, I feel better that we're picking the right one. Okay. When you only conduct one interview and you say, yes, we want to hire him, I worry that we haven't done a good enough search. Can we do that differently next time? These are all steps two and three together. Step three is just describe the outcome. And I'll cheat with you a little bit, folks. If you want my go-to move for step three, if you're wondering, well, what really is the outcome of somebody being late? My solution when I wonder I don't worry too much. I try to tailor it to the person. And knowing each one of my directs, it's easy for me to do that because I know the model and I know disk and so on. But if you don't know, the easiest one is to describe the impact on you as the manager. So in other words, when you're late, I worry about you. When you get stuff to me early, it saves me time putting everything together. Okay. When there's an error, I have to go double check it. Now, some of you may not be comfortable with that because you don't want to make it about yourself. That's okay. I respect that. That's fine. But if you're wondering what the impact is of something, ask yourself how you felt about what they did. Now, mind you, step two is about behavior. Step three, because it's about impact, it's not necessarily about behavior. You can describe how you feel, an emotional state, you can talk about your attitude in step three. So when you're late, it makes me frustrated. That's completely reasonable because step three, I'm describing the impact of them being late, not an actual behavior. I'm not tied only to behavior in step three the way I was in step two. The only behavior we're talking about here is the directs, and that's in step two, not in step three.
Good. Okay. So now you've asked them, you've stated the behavior when you do X, right? You've told them the outcome that you're talking about. So when you do X, right, Here's what happens. Step three.
Here's what happens. Oh, and one more thing. And technically, step three is where if you deliver feedback well on those situations where the feedback is not 100% clear to the direct initially, the only time they'll ever know whether it's positive or negative is in step three. Now, clearly, when you get stuff to me early, I think it's reasonable to assume this is going to be positive feedback. When you have errors in your slides, I'm assuming this is probably going to be negative feedback. But up until then, the tone of your voice, not until you get step three where there's an actual outcome and the outcome ought to be clearly a beneficial one to the organization or one detrimental to the organization. It's only in step three that we learn whether feedback is positive or negative.
Good point. Then what's step four? After you've done all that, then what happens in step four?
Yeah. Okay. Well, step four is really where we bring it all home because, remember, feedback is about effective future behavior of our direct. And the only purpose in talking to them about what happened this morning, actually, we don't actually talk to them about what happened this morning. We're talking about the future and we're referencing what they did as a starting point. Okay. Step four basically says, I want to reinforce that this is about the future. And basically, this is the only time where the model diverges. And basically, if you're giving affirming feedback, I was at a client once a few years ago, and they said, we're uncomfortable with the words positive and negative. We feel that they are judgmental. I said, well, other than the fact that you believe the word judgmental is negative, and in fact, virtually everything executives and managers does is inherently judgmental because judgment is what we pay senior executives for. I agree that it's judgmental, although I know that you're using the word in a pejorative sense, and I'm using it simply in a emotionally neutral sense, in the definition meaning applying judgment to one's environment. But anyway, they actually said, we need to use different words because we're afraid people will get their feelings hurt if you say you're giving them negative feedback. And I say, this is dumb. We don't actually tell them it's negative feedback. We just tell them they did something and there's an outcome and they ought to know the outcome is negative or not positive. He says, well, I like when you teach it. This is a senior HR person said, I like when you teach it to call them affirming and adjusting. And I chuckled at him. I said, which one's which? And he looked at me, he says, well, let me explain why affirming is positive and why adjusting is negative. I said, no, Robert, don't, because I know which one's which. I'm just messing with you, dude. You know, when the language has to be murdered to make the point is what ought to be murdered. But anyway, if you're giving positive or affirming feedback, that means simply saying thanks. You could also say keep it up or please more of the same, something like that. When you give adjusting or negative feedback, okay, that means you're going to ask them to do it differently in the future. And there's actually two ways to do that. So let's talk first about positive feedback. The simplest thing in the world in step four, when you give positive feedback, just say thanks or keep it up. So, hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Sure.
When you come in early and help me get the agenda ready, it saves me a bunch of time. Thanks. Keep it up.
Cool. Thanks.
Or I could just say, hey, Mike, can I give some feedback?
Sure.
When you catch the errors in your report and then correct them before I have to see it, saves me a bunch of time. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. No problem.
That's all. No problem. Simple. Now, in negative feedback, there's two. I'm sorry. Adjusting feedback. For those of you who delicate souls who are uncomfortable with the word negative. Although it's funny, companies talk about negative earnings all the time, so who knows? But then again, I'm sure this person probably would have said the company's a soulless entity, even though the company was an organization. And by definition, organizations have souls.
I've heard the term adjusted earnings. Maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe that's...
Yeah, that's right there. Oh, you're just an HR guy at heart. That's exactly what... You're true. You're letting your HR side show. It looks good on you. It looks good on you, dude. You should seriously. I mean, in fact, you know what? In addition to being CEO of Manager Tools, you should be our HR guy.
Okay. I got it. I'm You really want that? Okay.
Folks, privately, I promise you, he's going to kill me after this cast. He totally is. Don't ever accuse me of being an HR guy.
Okay. Yeah, so how about that step four? What were you saying?
Yeah, let's get back to step four, right? Sorry, long cast, right? Okay, so there's two different ways you can go when it comes to step four, negative feedback, adjusting feedback. One is the simple way that we recommend, and B is a little bit harder that we recommend later. We recommend that you start off with the simple question, which is, could you change that? Could you do that differently? Will you change that? Can you try that differently? Can you do that better next time? The difference is the easy way starts with could you or can you or will you or would you? Now, I've gotten long emails from a couple people saying you really should change your model and say will you rather than can you, because will imply something. I'm sorry, I just don't think the average person is that much of a grammarian to want to call attention to that particular word and what it means or doesn't mean. And it's actually, in my opinion, not that important. What's important is we are asking a question of the direct. And this is important because we want to get their commitment to a new behavior, which has in it inherently an admission that the old behavior was not what the organization wanted. Even though they meant well, the outcome wasn't good. The organization has, through you as the manager, because you are the organization to your directs and to their directs as well. Through you, the organization is saying, that's not helpful to us. Can you change that? And they're saying back to the organization, yes, I recognize that my intent is not what's important. The outcome is important. That meaning well, but producing crappy products will put a company out of business really, really fast. And so we're asking them to commit to new behavior in the event that it's negative, because we're talking about negative feedback now. Can you change that? And the simple answer is yes. Now, I will tell you that in 50,000 feedbacks, only one time. Now, I know there are some of you who say, well, my people are different, Mark. And I think in one time in my entire, somebody's going to say, Mark, my people are different. They're going to say no. I promise you, folks. You're making that up in your head. You're just finding a reason not to do this because you don't want to introduce a little bit of a pinch between you and your directs. Of course, you're willing to deal with the crunch of them not performing well or them not improving as fast as they could if you did what you expect from your boss, which is frequent feedback about how you could do it better. I'm sure you all raised your hand when I asked, who wants to know, provided it's done politely and professionally, how you can do better? All that said, we want them to say it. One time in my entire career, somebody said, no, I can't do that better. I said, oh, you're kidding me. And I tried to get out of there as fast as possible because I just didn't want this person to have to listen to me tell them why, if they could not do this simple thing I've asked to do better, there was no place from the organization. In fact, the particular issue was the customer, our internal customer, had asked for a bunch of data we were required to give. We had not given it, and we had not met the deadline. So I said, hey, can I give some feedback? He said, yeah, when you miss a deadline for that big data dump that the customer wants that we're required to give them, it makes us look bad. Can you do that better next time? He said, no, I just don't think they need it. And I'm like, dude, seriously, I can't even believe you said that. Let's talk about this later. And he never brought it up again, and his behavior changed, and so I didn't really care that he said no. But if one of your directs continually says no to you, that's a huge problem. In fact, we probably need to do a cast on that specifically, Mike. That said, in my entire career, one person has said no to me one time. And that person went on to say yes to me easily 50 more times. So I'm not worried about it. Okay. But we want them to say yes because we want them to take responsibility for changing their behavior the next time they come into the situation. Remember, the reason we're talking to them is in the event that they made a mistake in the morning, we don't care about the mistake. Nothing we can do about the mistake. The mistake is over. We are emotionally and professionally mature enough to not be mad about the mistake. We are simply going to say, okay, the mistake's over. What can we do next time we come into the situation? We're going to want different behavior. And we want them to say out loud, yes, I'm going to do that differently next time. Okay. Now, we don't have time in this cast to talk about what do you do if a direct continues to say yes and they don't change their behavior. That's called systemic feedback. It's one of the best ideas I've ever had in my career. Mike and I love that cast. It's one of our Hall of Fame casts. We encourage you to listen to it.
Absolutely.
That said, the way we recommend you start, after you've learned the model, after you've practiced with positive feedback hundreds of times with your directs and you start rolling out negative, we recommend the question you ask in step four is, could you change that? Will you change that? Can you work on that? Can you do that differently? Can you try that differently for me? All those questions are fine. They end in a question mark, and the appropriate response from the direct is, yeah, I'll work on it. And by the way, the more casual you are, I lean in and go, dude, can I give you some feedback? Yeah. When you're late, dude, totally sucks for me. Can you change that? And that kind of casualness, people are like, oh, I'm not in trouble.
Yeah.
You said totally sucks. And dude, I can't be in trouble. I'll tell you what make people feel like they're in trouble, which by the way, makes them feel punished, which makes them cover up their behavior in the future. I'll tell you what they'll do. First thing in the morning, you go by somebody's cube. You try this, folks. One of your best people. Go by one of your people's cubes and say, look, I'm kind of busy. I got a rough day in front of me. Will you please come see me at the end of the day? I'd like to talk to you about something. You want to screw somebody's day? You want to ruin productivity? You just do that. It's dumb.
Because, of course, they assume that you want to talk to them about something positive, right? That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
Good,
oh,
getting
yeah.
a raise. I mean, yeah, right.
Yeah, you got 10 Pollyannas working for you. Lucky you. No. Yeah, yeah, there must be a pony in there somewhere, right? No. Yeah, you're going to ruin them. And the manager tools feedback model is completely antithetical to that. Hey, Mike, can you give some feedback? When you're late, man, I worry about you. Could you be on time? Thanks, dude. Awesome. Yeah. Or, hey, can I give some feedback? When you're late with your reports, I got to come find you, man. It takes time. Can we do that better next week? Awesome. Thanks, dude. You rock. Okay. Very casual, very relaxed. Everything we can do to reduce the distance between me and my big fat red sign that says, watch out, I'm your boss, I could fire you, and my direct, who I want to have a good relationship with.
Yeah, it contrasts for me for two different types of answers. Like one of them, step four, you could say, could you change that, right? And the other one is, right. What could you do differently? What's the difference in those two? They are slightly different.
Yeah, sure. Well, think about it. What is different about the question, what can you do differently, as opposed to can you do that differently? The difference is the answer. Can you do that differently is a yes or no question that's easy enough to say yes if you're giving feedback about something that's relatively small. And smaller is better and faster is better. Make small adjustments on the road, folks. Don't wait until you're in the ditch. When you say what can you do differently, the direct can't just say yes, because now you're asking them to talk about what their future behavior will be. If you've given them enough positive and negative feedback and you have a good relationship with them, you're basically saying, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what your next time you get in the situation, what you might do. And for some of them, they'll be fine. They'll say, oh, dude, I've totally got it. I'll be on time. That's no problem. So in fact, when you say, if I say to you, Mike, can I give some feedback? And I say, when you're late, I worry about you. What could you have done? What could you do differently next week? Don't say, what could you have done differently? You say, what can you do differently next time? Or what could you do differently? And you say, well, I'll be on time. To me, that's kind of meaningless. It's not. The moment you say, can you do that differently? And you say, yes, you know darn well what I mean is be on time. But if it was more complex than that, right? If you take position A with a client when in fact position B would have been better, it would be okay for somebody with a lot of experience receiving feedback as a direct for you to say, so let's talk about that a minute. What could you have done differently? Or, you know, what could you do differently? And now, again, they're going to have to come up with new behaviors. If they're not confident, if they're not comfortable, if they're not readily, easily slipping into the feedback model and understand why it is and that it's not an attack and that it's friendly and professional and yet necessary in your job as a manager representing the organization to a direct, then they can say, well, I could have done X, I could have done Y, I could have done Z. But they're going to have to be creative. If they're not comfortable, if they're not confident, if they're not relaxed in getting negative feedback, that sense of fear will shut down their ability to be creative. Fear and creativity just generally don't go well together. So if you're still causing fear in your directs, particularly if your delivery is not good or if you haven't built your relationships through one-on-ones, then saying, what could you do differently? Your directs are going to say, I don't know. If I'd have known, I'd have done it, right? And so you can say, what can you do differently? But it's a much harder question to answer. And we don't recommend managers start that construct when you start using negative feedback. It's easier to say, can you do that differently next time? Leaving it up to them. Remember now, when you say, can you do that differently next time? Or can you do that differently? Or can you try it some other way next time? You're leaving it up to them. But the fact is, if you gave feedback and never directed your people probably are generally smart enough that they won't do it wrong the same way next time. But if they do it wrong a different way, that's two ways they know not to do it. You'll give them more negative feedback, and pretty soon they'll end up on track. It may take three or four bits of feedback, but then they'll finally get it right. And when they get it right, you'll definitely want to give them positive feedback about that.
Yeah, and they'll own the solution because their solution might be different than yours and still work just fine. Maybe better even.
Yeah, in fact, you notice the model does not say, here's what you could do differently, or you could do that differently by doing X. Because in that case, first of all, it's not a question, so you don't get a commitment, and that commitment plays a huge role in systemic feedback, and you got to listen to the cast to understand how hugely important that yes is. But if you say, here's what you could do differently, they could just say, okay, and then they could privately say, I don't like your way, and go back to your old way, and they'll, in my opinion, professionally, in an immature way, do it the way they did it before, simply because they liked that way more than you did, more than the way you recommended. And again, you're right. If they come up with the way, they're much more likely to implement the way they come up with, even if it's wrong. And as long as you're gracious about it, as long as you don't start punishing them after two or three wrong times, they'll gradually figure it out. Just like you did the first 20 times you did something, and then you finally found the best way to do it. And probably a lot of times your boss didn't know the mistakes you were making.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And speaking of thank God, I think that's it, right? That's the four steps.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Oh, man, you're killing me. Yeah, I probably talked too long. Folks, I do apologize for talking long. And yet I feel like feedback, I wish each one of you could feel in your heart and mind what I feel when I think about feedback, because I've given it so many times and I've seen so many people give feedback so many times. And I know so many of you longtime listeners are like, yeah, I tried it. It didn't really work. I didn't get it right. But there's a hump you're going to get over, and then you're going to get over and you're going to get addicted to it. It's going to be your self-licking ice cream cone. And you're going to say, I love this thing. Yeah. I just very casual. I just say, hey, can I give some feedback when you do that? Blah, 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 blah. Thanks. Or, hey, can I give some feedback when you do that? Here's what happens. Nah, I can change that.
Yeah, this feels long because it is long, but there's a lot of information in there. So, folks, if you listen through this and go out and do feedback for a while, come back and re-listen to it a few times, because you'll pick up on a lot of subtleties that will put you in good stead in the future. And you just won't hear them the first time. I'm sorry. I wish that weren't true, but it is. You listen to this four or five times and you'll start picking up on some things that will make a difference. Thanks, my friend. Enjoyed it.
My pleasure, partner. I had a great time. This is it's a great topic. And it's a simple topic, and people dismiss it at their peril. I look forward to hearing from some of you who try it, fight through your own learnings on it, and get better at it, and then say, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, and listen to your people. Watch them get better.
Yeah.
And then wait for them to come back and tell you how you made them a better and more productive employee.
Because you are willing to do what no other manager had ever done them before, politely and professionally say, I'd like you to get better at this. Can you change that?
There you go.
No attack, no threat, no victimization. Just, hey, can we do that differently? They'll love you for it.
Yeah, they will.
Yep.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right.
We'll see you. That's it, everyone. Feedback is done. Hopefully you'll join us for other series and other casts we have in the library. In the meantime, you have a great one. So long.